Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As you know, Monday marked the fifth anniversary of 9/11. And the memory of 9/11 is a chilling reminder that we live with a persistent enemy who is relentless in his intention to destroy the United States. In fact, the only thing that keeps this from being more frightening is the fact that so far, our national security agencies and those of our allies have been able to avert further attacks. As Christians, we pray that this season of peace from further terrorist tragedy would continue. And we pray as Christians for peace because we realize that God is responsible for the success we have had thus far in preventing another terrorist tragedy like 9/11. But you know, even after 5 years since 9/11, we Americans are still adjusting to the fact that we are living with an unseen enemy that wants to put an end to our free and democratic way of life. After 5 years without incident, it's easy to slip back into the illusion that we are somehow living in the good old days before 9/11. But make no mistake about it. The events of 9/11 taught us that our country has powerful enemies that will stop at nothing to destroy us. And so really, it's not a question of will there ever be further and future attacks, but only when these attacks will eventually occur. If as a country we forget that and drop our guard, our enemies gain a great advantage over us. And so our best weapon against terrorism in the physical world is vigilance. We were unprepared for 9/11 because we were not ready to fight an unseen enemy who could use passenger planes loaded with jet fuel and innocent people as weapons against civilian targets. We were unprepared for this whole new age of terrorism because in our Judeo-Christian ethic, we could not even imagine people who were willing to become suicide bombers without qualm of conscience to kill innocent people. We were not prepared to fight an opposing force that valued life so cheaply that they would employ a strategy of killing themselves in order to kill us. And so in 9/11, what we faced was an unconventional enemy who fights in a very unconventional way. And strangely enough, as I was reading Ephesians chapter 6, I said, you know, we can say the exact same thing about our enemy, the devil. Satan is very unconventional in the way he wages war against us Christians. Satan wages war behind the scenes and in unexpected ways. He can work through obvious evil figures like Osama bin Laden, or he can disguise himself in the holy vestments of heretical church leaders who in the modern world deny the faith. And we Christians need to recognize and be ready to adapt to the various ways in which Satan does wage war against the church. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, maybe you don't want to be at war with the devil. But whether you want to be at war with the devil or not is really not the point. The point is, my friends, that the devil is at war with you. You cannot simply will yourself not to be at war with the devil any more than we can will the terrorists to stop hating us. If you are a baptized believer in Christ, then Satan is at war with you, whether you like it or not, and whether you realize it or not. The Western world has had trouble understanding the ideology that motivates terrorism. We ask ourselves, why do these people want to kill us? In the same way, you must understand what motivates Satan. Satan's strategic goal is to kill your faith so that he can claim your soul. If he takes you away from God, he wins the war. You see, when Satan fell from heaven, he forfeited his own relationship to God, and now he seeks revenge on God by estranging you from God. And to this end, Satan will use any and every unconventional means to drive an eternal wedge between you and the Father in heaven so that you will have to suffer the same fate in hell as he. Spiritual warfare against the devil and his demonic army is similar to and yet very different from the way men wage war. The apostle says in our text, "For our struggle is not with flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Security in our country and around the world has greatly increased, as you know, since 9/11, and it has inconvenienced our travel plans when we go to the airport. But we've learned to live with this tightened security because we understand the precautions that are necessary in this age of terrorism. And yet, sadly, I find that too few Christians take precautions against the devil's own brand of terrorism. For you see, Satan has a great tactical advantage over the Christian who fails to read God's word regularly, who forgets to daily apply Christ's forgiveness to himself, and who carelessly exposes himself or herself to all the temptations that are so prevalent in our culture. And so what is happening is too many Christians are putting their eternal life at risk, failing to realize that the devil has targeted them for destruction. Many modern Christians are an easy target for the devil, a soft target, as you will, because they aren't even aware that they have this sworn enemy named Satan. In fact, today's secularized Christian is often not fully certain of the devil's true existence, much less alert to his evil strategies. And that makes it really easy for the devil to terrorize Christians without their even realizing that there is this evil entity behind all their earthly woes. And even if modern Christians do accept the existence of a real and personal devil, still most Christians greatly underestimate his demonic intentions to destroy their faith and to drive them to despair. And like the terrorist, Satan is highly adaptable. If he cannot drive you, the Christian, to despair, he quickly reverses himself and he attempts to destroy your Christian faith by inflating you with spiritual pride. In fact, Satan tries to convince you that while others may fall from grace, from his attacks, just like the World Trade Center towers fell, that you will somehow always stand. Why is it at the very moment that Satan is getting you to ignore your faith or to violate your conscience, that he is also so busy convincing you that you can never fall from faith? The idea that you can simply ignore the gospel and repentance throughout your lifetime and be saved is exactly what this terrorist wants you to believe. Because this is nothing more than the illusion of safety that is created by spiritual pride. The truth is, if you do not put on the armor of God and the protection of the gospel, you can fall from the faith. armed only in your own strength, you are no match for the devil. For if you do not live in the forgiveness and the strength provided you by Christ, your fall will be even more tragic than the collapse of the World Trade Center on 9/11. What makes Satan's warfare so unconventional is that he does not face us or fight us out in the open. The devil does not appear with a warning label like a pack of cigarettes that reads, "I hate you and I can hurt you eternally." But instead, the devil works through the evil powers and governments of this dark world. He hides behind the declarations of dictators. He lurks behind the actions of tyrants. He is able to inflame lust. He is able to ignite hatred. He is able to sow seeds of strife and discord. He is able to incite crowds to violence. He is able to goad countries into going to war. Satan energizes the murderer, the rapist, the cultist, the pornographer, the pedophile, the drug dealer, the slave trader, the bigot, and those who would practice racial genocide. But it really doesn't take a great deal of spiritual discernment to lift Satan's fingerprints from these crime scenes against humanity. For even the most biblically illiterate Christian can discern that Satan is responsible for these hideous, grotesque forms of evil that are in the world. Satan is rarely recognized in our world these days, in part because our world really can no longer tell the difference between good and evil and right and wrong. And also because the devil works his evil through humans instead of showing up in person. He works through the evil words and the works of evil men. And yet he always stays out of the picture and behind the scenes. He works indirectly through evil thoughts and words and actions of sinners who he gets to do his bidding. And by the way, the devil doesn't have his own book like God, who has the Bible. But the devil gets to say what he wants through every blasphemous and salacious and immoral book that ever gets written, or every movie that ever gets made. For through these, the devil is able to promote his agenda. He is able to promote both blasphemy and bloodshed. But although Satan is certainly behind all murders and wars, surprisingly, he does not use bullets to wound or to kill the conscience. But instead, he takes shots at Christ and Christianity through authors who write bestsellers, through entertainers in the pop culture. Satan's plan is to discredit Christ and Christianity whenever and wherever he can introduce these voices that he sends out into the public square. And he is able to add fame and credibility to such authors and publishers and playwrights and producers who use his anti-Christian messages. Satan is able to fabricate complicated lies through a cacophony of sophisticated scholarly voices that would confuse people to the point that they give up on subjects like God and moral decency. But the more discerning Christian realizes that much of what drives our culture is the product of Satan, and if you look carefully, underneath, it bears his evil trademark. So that whenever you come up against a vile or violent or irreligious person, you should understand that you are not just in conflict with another flesh and blood human being, but you are at the same time encountering evil. You are engaging the powers of darkness. For the forces of evil operate through the comments and the conduct of those we encounter every day, whether at school, at home, in the workplace, or on television. For Satan and his army of demons control every unbelieving heart and mind on this planet. And while you have probably never encountered someone who is actually bodily possessed by the devil, it might surprise you to know that you live every day of your life among a culture whose hearts and minds are possessed by Satan and are in the grip of his evil. It's not so much that Satan thinks for them as that they think like Satan. And yet we come to the most important point of today's message. For the most unconventional way that Satan attacks and terrorizes Christians is through other Christians. This is a brilliant strategy on the devil's part. For who would expect that a Christian could be employed as an instrument and tool of the devil? And yet this is as favorite a tactic to Satan as car bombs are to earthly terrorists. For Satan is able to work very effectively through your sinful nature that clings to you even as a Christian. It's that nature that causes us to act in a very contradictory way to our faith. And to our great shame, throughout our lifetime, Satan will exploit our sinful weaknesses. He will use our sinful comments. He will use our sinful conduct to promote his evil agenda. He loves it when he can get our actions to contradict our faith. And then he loves to turn around and expose our hypocrisy, so that we disillusion other Christians and discredit Christ in their eyes by how we are living. Satan is delighted when he can tempt the Christian to say and do things that would hurt another brother or sister in Christ. For Satan often wins a great victory when he can cause us as Christians either to give offense or to take offense. And boy, does he know how to exploit that situation as effectively as a terrorist can use a hostage strapped with explosives. Satan loves it when you, as a Christian, wound your child or your spouse or your coworker with hurtful, hateful comments aimed to kill their spirit. Then you become Satan's weapon, and you kill for him. And no one even knows that he was in the room when you said what you said. This is terrorism at its worst. That Satan can work his evil plans through our obvious flaws and failings as Christians. And he likes nothing better than to disillusion Christians through the bad behavior of other Christians. For really, if you think about it, if you think about Satan in his little war room strategizing, there is no better way to attack faith than to reveal the hypocrisy in Christians to other Christians. And he is so devious that he can hide his evil in the seemingly innocent remarks of our actions to a friend or a coworker. It's a lot like a terrorist who's hiding a bomb in a backpack. It's really hard to go through every statement that you make through the day as a sinner and find Satan, but he is there. But he doesn't stop there. He doesn't only work through you, the Christian, because of your sinful nature, but he works in you through your own so-called self-talk. You see, the devil is able to bypass all our security because he has access to all our thoughts so that he can get inside our head. He can cause us to obsess with worry. And from within our very conscience, the devil can first prompt us to commit a sin and then turn around and plague us with guilt. He can fill our heads with doubts about God and maneuver us into a crisis of faith. And when we think these doubting and these vile and blasphemous thoughts, we think they originated in us. And so we don't stop Satan at the checkpoint of our conscience, but instead we allow him to move freely about within our thoughts, undetected, so that he can terrorize us. In Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he gives us good news, however, in this war. He tells us that we can win this spiritual war on terror against evil in high places. Speaking with all of the authority of Christ, Paul instructs us as to the weapons that we Christians have at our disposal for waging and winning this war. And he would encourage you, the Christian, to prepare for battle when he says, put on the armor of God. Really, you could say the armor of the gospel, so that you can stand your ground against the devil's schemes. Our weapons are as unconventional as our enemy. For unlike other wars that men wage, we don't fight the devil with physical weapons, nor do we engage Satan and overcome him by our own strength of will or exertion. We overcome him simply by our reliance upon Jesus and the power he exerted on the cross to overcome and defeat the devil. And so, when the devil terrorizes you, the only real strategy that will work is to repent and to return to the waiting, loving, open arms of Christ outstretched for you on the cross. For it is only when you are in Christ that you are in that one place where the devil cannot terrorize you. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.